plots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. This is The Record.
And I'm David Hyde. You may have heard that old cowboy song, Don't Fence Me In. When Bryce Andrews first experienced the wide open spaces east of his Seattle home, he realized that was the land he yearned for.
Andrews grew up in Seattle, but he spent summers helping out on a ranch in eastern Washington. After college, he finally landed his dream job as a ranch hand in Montana. Bryce Andrews chronicles the challenges that faced him in his first year on the job in his new memoir.
It's called Bad Luck Way, A Year on the Ragged Edge of the West. Bryce Andrews told our colleague Marcy Sillman he fell in love with the idea of ranching when he was a very young boy.
My dad ran the University of Washington's Art Museum, the Henry Art Gallery, and I remember a show they had, The Myth of the West, fairly early on, made a huge impact on me. I looked at those images, those artifacts from a world that was totally alien to the crowded, moist place where I grew up, and I just wanted it, and I didn't really know why. But my parents also had two very good friends, Pat and Susie Zents. Pat Zents being a sculptor, but also a third-generation rancher. And I started working for them when I was 12. I'd go out there in the summers, and they would let me, you know, bumble around and try to roll up barbed wire and, you know, make mistakes, and that's where I started to really love the work.
When did you realize, oh, gee, I don't just love this, but I might actually want to do it for more than a summer?
I really respected the way that Pat approached ranching, which was as, you know, as more than a living, as sort of a holistic way of looking at how a person can relate to land. And that really grew as I was in college. I went to Whitman College in eastern Washington, and I got to work a little bit in different places, and I came to really feel that I was my best self when I was working out of doors.
Whitman College is in eastern Washington, yep. But it's a prestigious liberal arts college. I don't think it's like an ag school, or
no.
I don't think of that. So how did that education, I mean, you were in a place that had ranches, but how did the education prepare you for this?
I mean, I had the great good fortune to work with Don Snow as my advisor, and he's a writer and a great teacher who he'd come from Missoula, from the University of Montana, came very much from a tradition of people who were writing not just about nature, but also about work, the way that the work of agriculture fit into a wild landscape and how those two things came together. I also should say that, you know, I have a little bit of a streak that my French-Canadian side of the family would call contraire. There's a part of me that, you know, if you put me in a fairly, you know, homogenous, you know, intellectual landscape, I'll be really curious about the other side of things, and I'll want to go see it for myself, for better or for worse.
I'm talking with Bryce Andrews, and I guess I can call you cowboy and writer, memoirist and cowboy and rancher. After you finish college, you write that you kind of traveled the country, bummed around, and found this first ranching job that you write about. It seems almost by luck.
Oh yeah, it was pure dumb luck. I mean, I had the little bit of experience from working for the Zentses, but nothing like the full skill set that I needed to get the job done. And I found the job, the Sun Ranch. It was a seasonal grazing, you know, it was a grazing technician job, which just meant ranch hand on, you know, a modern ranch. And I found it through the Montana State University Range Sciences website. You know, I don't think they would have taken me except for the ranch had a really interesting way of looking at how they interacted with the land. It was a conservation ranch. That's what they called themselves. And so there was an emphasis on thinking deeply and living, coexisting well with what was wild and what was already there.
So why don't you describe the Sun Ranch when you got there?
I mean, the first thing that I was struck by was the size of it. I mean, it's an enormous place. It's 18,000 acres, not including all the leases. And we had leased ground from the state and the Forest Service and all that. It's incredibly wild. When I first got there, the thing that it brought to mind was the Serengeti. You had these huge herds of elk just moving across the land, and you had this sense of endlessness to the landscape.
In addition to the elk and skunks and sort of more tame-ish sort of animals, you had mountain lions and you had wild wolves, and one pack in particular is kind of another character in this book.
You know, I think that more than any other creature on that landscape, wolves defined it. and they dominated our daily life as we took care of the herds.
When you arrived, what was your attitude towards wolves?
My attitude when I arrived was intense curiosity. I've always loved ranching, but more than that, I've loved wild places and wild things, and I wanted to be close to animals like the wolf. I was thrilled at the possibility that I might see a wolf, and that was really all I expected out of the experience, is maybe getting a chance to see one.
But the other part of this is that they eat meat.
Yeah.
And they hunt the elk, but they also hunt the cows and the steers that you're in charge of protecting.
That's why we have so much trouble with wolves, and that's why we have so much of the wolf in our mythology. They're a lot like us. They're smart. They run in, you know, they run in family-sized groups. They use the landscape and the prey base the same way we do.
So you had this sort of awe of this wild, smart creature.
Right.
The two guys that you worked with didn't exactly view wolves. In fact, most of the ranchers that you met didn't have that necessarily that same attitude.
You know what's the funny thing about that whole thing is, if you ask them what they think of the wolves, generally speaking, you're signing up for an earful. But at the same time, I think there's a profound respect for what the wolves can do. But that said, you know, I knew from the get-go that my job was going to put me in a position that was going to be difficult for me ethically. And I understood that one of the things I had signed on for as a ranch hand was I would be functioning within and not beyond the world of animals. And that would mean I had to take a position, and that would mean I would collide literally sometimes with animals in that world.
The reason I asked you about your upbringing at the beginning of this interview is that you come from sort of the heart of liberal Seattle, where you had outdoor experiences, but it wasn't exactly the same kind of background as the guys that you worked with on this ranch. You come to it with this different attitude about the environment. As you said, you took this job because of the way the owner of the ranch thought about it. It seemed to me that one of the hardest things for you, you had physical hardships, but it was that mentally coming to terms with where you came from in relation to the environment and wolves in particular, and what this job asked of you.
It was a very difficult process of evolution that way. You have to understand, you know, my mom is a photographer. So when the first toy gun I saw, I picked it up and held it sideways and went click. You know, I thought it was a camera. And, you know, my dad was a conscientious objector in Vietnam. So I was brought up really to look very critically at violence of any kind. And one of the things that struck me very soon after arriving on the Sun Ranch was that violence is a part of ranching. Violence is a necessary part of agriculture, and there's no getting around that. You can minimize it. You can think about it, and you should think about it, I think, more than we often do in agriculture today. But at the same time, life and death are absolutely parts of it. And to pursue agriculture in a landscape like that one, which was so entirely wild, and which I believe, you know, that landscape had beauty and brutality as its two defining qualities.
I don't want to give too much away, so I'm kind of skirting around a lot of things that happened in the story, but you were confronted with a decision that you had to make, and you made that decision. What kind of scar did that leave on you?
I was confronted by a number of difficult decisions, and a lot of them revolved around acts of what I thought were necessary violence at the time. There are these things that your job asks of you, these things that the position that you're occupying presses upon you. You know, you do these things, whether it's shooting a cow that needs to be put down or a wolf or whatever, you know, you do them, and then you have to square with them, and you have to go back to being the person you've always been before.
But are you the person you've always been before after you do that?
You know, that's one of the central questions of the book, I think, is when I was a kid, I loved the idea of a bunch of people sitting around a fire and one person departing from the fireside and going out into the darkness and coming back with a story. And in some ways, that's what I thought I was doing. But, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and one of the things that strikes me about it is I went out into the darkness, and I saw a lot of darkness, and I saw some beautiful things too, but I haven't come back. I still live in Montana. I still ranch. I just, for the first time in my life, I'll be ranching for myself. I leased a ranch along with my partner Kendra and a friend of ours. So I don't think I'm the same person as before. I see the world less in terms of black and white. It's muddier.
You have one line in this book that just really struck me. You write, I'm living at the center of my heart's geography. Do you still feel that way?
Yes, that landscape's always going to have a hold on me. It's not a thing that I could put behind myself and not a thing that I'd want to put behind myself. I think I left that experience with two really important convictions. One is that I have a profound respect for the livelihood and the work of ranching, but I have an equivalent respect, and I still have it, for wild creatures like the wolf. I think that being between those two things is what made me feel like I was in the center of my heart's geography.
That's Bryce Andrews. His new memoir is called Bad Luck Way, A Year on the Ragged Edge of the West. He spoke to our esteemed colleague, Marcy Silman. This is The Record on KUOW.